You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report on this 16th day of October. It's a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises joins us to take a look at the commodity markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How'd you like the rally in the markets earlier in the week this week and again today?
Well, when we were on Commodity Week 2 weeks ago, I told you that oats knew, and it knew.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, for the week, I think the bulls are doing a pretty good job. For the week, December corn is up 18 cents. He's 34 cents off their contract low. November soybeans are up 44 cents for the week and off their contract low of 62 cents. Chicago soft red winter wheat is up 22 cents for the week and 51 cents off their contract low. So I would say that the bull is in the red zone and getting ready to score. So I'm looking for one more push on up to go on in for the touchdown.
Well, then that doesn't tell me that it would be a much higher push up.
I think November beans is going to take, it has $10 in its sights. I think it's sighted up for a run toward 10. It may not quite make 10. It might make, 997 or 998. But I think it's sighted up to take a run at 10. I think December corn posted went above the 50-day moving average here on Tuesday, slipped below it by a penny there yesterday, came back, now we closed above it, so we got two closes above the 50-day moving average. That is usually a key indicator, and I think Dees Corn is sighted up now to take a solid run into the 360s, maybe even pop out 370. I think December wheat, if I can find my chart here, it looks like it's sighted up here to take a run toward the 530s. Maybe pop out the high that we had here first part of September around 542. So everything that I look at tells me that a seasonal low is in place, and now we're on the updraft of that seasonal cycle that should take us, into first part of November. And then maybe we could see some relaxation of that strength maybe as we get into November.
So I'm wondering, are we going to call, you going to call corn a sideways to higher market? And is soybean the same thing, or are there other aspects of that marketplace that we need to be
aware
of?
Well, I think short term, you got to call it, I guess, you got to understand who you talk to. A day trader will tell you, one thing, and a weekly trader will tell you another thing. But we've broke out of a three-week price range on November beans. We broke out of a four-week price range in December corn. We're making higher highs and higher lows. So I think you have to say that this trend that we've started here in late September, early October, at the moment is considered higher. Corn, I think, could be even in a little better shape than soybeans because I got a weekly buy signal on the weekly chart to go along with the daily buys that came about 3 weeks ago. So I got to be generally positive based upon price action. And I do understand we have a big crop out there. I'm not convinced USDA has got their arms around the acres yet. If they don't mess with acres anymore, then I think we're going to have a huge first quarter residual disappearance in corn and soybeans. So we'll have to see what they do. But they're a little twinkering with the acres on the October report. I think they got a long ways to go when you compare that to the FSA data. Granted that FSA acreage data is probably not complete, but There's a lot of room there. There's a miss somewhere in there,
Right, we
in
haven't
the
talked about
acreage.
that on the air yet, but the FSA data came out earlier in the week again. I take it you've looked at it, but there's a discrepancy between the number of acres FSA says is available and the number of acres USDA has on the books.
Correct. And we do have to acknowledge the fact, I think, FSA told the county offices that they had maybe till December 15th to actually get those numbers in because they wanted them to spend time with farmers explaining the farm program. So, the data might be coming in a little slower than what it normally does. I'm not too sure what the percentage is, if it's 70% complete or 60% complete or 80% complete. I don't know that. But I do know that
It's
there is
short,
an
whatever it is.
unusually wide discrepancy
Yeah.
between the numbers that USDA is using on their balance sheets and what has officially been reported to the FSA offices.
And USDA made, I caught this last week in just the verbiage that was in their crop production report. Darrell Good and I were talking about it earlier in the week in his office, because he had seen the same thing from those FSA numbers. And USDA, and we went back several crop production report years to see what their verbiage looked like. And this year it was clear that the one sentence they referred to for both the corn and soybean said, with available data. So they're uncertain too that the data from FSA or other places that they gather is really complete on acreage. It'll be interesting to see how all that turns out, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I think they've missed the acres bad.
Oh, you think they're high? You think USDA is actually high?
I think their estimate that they did in June is a bad miss. And we'll see where it's at the end of the day. The problem is they can cover it up with an unexplained residual use, on the quarterly report,
Well,
just like they did last year. I mean, that first quarter disappearance is really not explainable, but it is what it is, and you go on with it. And I think that tells you that either their production number was probably too high, and I think it was too high because I don't think we had that many acres planted last year.
So
So
this year it probably won't get fixed until January, I wouldn't think.
it could, yeah, very well. I would say that the January report is teed up for a big surprise.
Ooh, we haven't had one of those for a while.
So I mean, we'll have to see what they do with acreage on the November report. We still have another monthly report yet for them to close that gap, or for that gap to kind of close, and then we'll have to wait. Otherwise, we'll have to wait till the January crop report, and then we could see some wild discrepancies come to the surface. But the market's acting awful good for as big a crop as we got, as big a yields has been reported. I got to be from by weighting the technical side of the market heavier than I weight known fundamentals. I got to be friendly this market.
Just on based on the technicals. Okay, one other thing, and switch from corn to the soybeans, because they're having some difficulties in Brazil in particular. It's been awfully hot, awfully dry to get the start of their sowing season done. And we talk about this a bit later in the program. I already recorded Mike Tenora, so the whole weather segment is about this. But can you see that in the export market for soybeans at this point? Is there concern from the importers that they may have to turn more to the U.S. than they expected?
Well, I think we're going to find out tomorrow. We haven't heard anything from the USDA, on any daily soybean announcements over the past couple of weeks. But I have a feeling most of that was waiting on bearish crop report there in October, waiting for lower prices. I mean, you can't believe how bearish the grain trade has been and still are. If you talk to any grain merchandisers or anything, I mean, they just are really, really terribly bearish. And I think the end user has been that way, waiting to buy stuff cheaper. And I think this one thing that's different about this October crop report is that the grain trade has been able to sell these crop reports and be in the money within a day or two after that crop report. This crop report, they are not in the money. So anybody that sold into Friday's crop report is sending money to Chicago, and that's why I wanted to emphasize that we're up for the week and we're off our contract lows measurably, and that tells me that the bear is short and then some, and he's maybe out of horsepower at the moment to send this market lower, and therefore the bulls in here can kind of put him on the mat and have him either send money to Chicago or climb out of those short positions.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana, and joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.